This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 26th of April, 1962. The title of this lecture is Rundown on Routine 3, Routine 3A Crisscross. This tape is 62 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
St. Hill Special Briefing Course. A lecture on the subject of Routine 3 and Company. History. The discovery that goals could locate terminals and that terminals could be audited out of existence was followed by a discovery of the identity of the goals problem mass. It was followed also by several pathetic efforts of numerous auditors to find a goal. And more pathetic efforts to find terminals. Meantime, research continued forward. We got Routine 3A. Routine 3 consists solely of finding a goal, then finding a terminal that matches the goal, and running the terminal, and then finding another terminal for that goal, and another terminal for that goal, till that goal disappeared. And then finding that the goal probably had disappeared, and finding another goal, and finding a terminal for that goal, and so on, and finding and auditing that, and then finding another terminal and auditing that, and finally it disappeared. And eventually you got into a situation where you'd find a goal and it'd blow up, and you'd find a terminal and it'd blow up, and then you just couldn't find anything, you got a free needle. What you'd done in essence was to pick off a number of pieces of the goal's problem mass, so the PC was floating free of the goal's problem mass. Condition of clear, which is attained by this particular process, was a very desirable condition. And on many people, when it was well attained, has been quite stable, but contained the liability of a Kenyan from the remainder of the goal's problem mass which had not been touched by this auditing. And this was the reason Clears caved in, is because there was still a goal's problem mass, less just a few of its terminals, kicking around, ready to kick the PC in his teeth. All right, so there was an effort made then to find the goal. And a new piece was discovered, the modifier. And you took the goal and the modifier, and you found a terminal with the goal and modifier. That was Routine 3A. Now, the goal plus modifier ended up in a terminal which was much more intimate to the goal's problem mass, and because we were each time finding the modifier, we did not lose the goal's problem mass. The goal's problem mass can be keyed in at any time merely by repeating the modifier to the PC. Why? The modifier ordinarily lies in the op term. New data for you. You find the goal, and you find the modifier, and of course you're going to find the op term. And that is a mass which is more intimately connected with the goal's problem mass. So although you find a terminal, all you have to do is chant the modifier at the PC a few times, you pull the goal's problem mass right in on the PC. Why? Well, you've got your two big balls. Freud, by the way, would have... I'm sorry, girls. But the truth of the matter is that that is how Freud thought it was all sex. That's right. He probably spotted some of these things someday, and he said, aha, I know what that is. Invented the libido theory. Anyway, all right, here you find the goal, and then you find the terminal for that goal. But if you found the goal and the modifier will have something to do with the op term. See? So although you try to audit out this terminal, every time you could audit it out, see? And then you just say the op term and you get that again. And you say the op term and you get that again, see? So the Gold's problem mass is over here quite fixed. And you can always swing it in. You can take any routine three clear, and you can find their first goal, and you can find the op term for that goal, and bang, they're about as clear as mud. In other words, you can yank them straight into the Gold's problem mass by merely finding the modifier. Routine three. Well, routine three was designed to be processed. You found the terminal, and then you found the goal, and then you found the modifier, and then you found the terminal, and then you processed the thing. And of course, it wasn't too terribly successful, experimental process to that degree, because you were always kicking away at an unidentified modifier. You were kicking away at an unidentified op term. So then we got 3D, and 3D, we skipped B and C, and they went by in a half an hour of research. And actually didn't go by at all, just skipped them. And we got to where you found the goal and the modifier and a terminal and then the opposition terminal. You did this in a sequence of finding the goal, finding the opposition goal, and finding the modifier to the goal. That isn't quite... No, you found the op term to the goal, and then you found the modifier, and then you found the terminal. And, of course, that gave you a package, and that package was designed to be audited. All this material is available in bulletins. I'm just giving you a fast historical review of routine three. It's never ceased to be routine three, by the way. If you notice that carefully, it never became routine four or five or six. All right. Now, then came routine 3D crisscross. Routine 3D crisscross came about because auditors had so much difficulty in finding a goal and in finding a modifier, in finding a terminal, in finding an opposition terminal, had so much trouble finding these parts that I looked very carefully for numerous new entrances to the Gold's problem mass. Various entrances were found. The first of them were merely arbitrary entrances. You said, make a list of the things you like. Who or what do you like? Who or what do you dislike? You had lists, in other words. And these lists came on down the line and were nulled. And you got items then on these lists. And then you opposed these, got the opposition item to these lists. And you got a package right there, bang. In other words, you're dealing totally with terminals. So you'd get first it was an arbitrary assignment. You just told the PC like, and then you got a line for dislike, and then you got a line for something else. All right. And this was succeeded by pre-have levels. You take a pre-have level, and which is assessed on the PC, and then you would list a large number of terminals for this pre-have level. Pre-have level, let's say, is badly control. Who or what would badly control? And you'd make a long list, and you would assess that list out, and you'd wind up with a terminal, and then you would say who or what would oppose whatever terminal you found or whatever item you found, who or what would oppose that, and you got a pair of these things. And you kept doing this on several lines, and then you got the flows, and you would assess all possible flows, and you would say who or what would enforce inflow on you or something like that, and you would make that list, and then you would make, after you had found that item, then you would make a list for the opposition terminal. And the object of routine 3D crisscross was to continue to do this until the Gold's problem mass was totally shaken down to a point where you were only getting a few specific terminals which were constantly repeating. And this, of course, would be a package. And then that package could be audited. That was the basic intention on which this was developed. Very good. A new concept of routine three processes has just arisen. And that is an understanding of what we're doing. Several solutions have been found. I found several solutions to problems which opposed the original routine three. And what was the matter with original routine three, you see? What was the matter with it basically is that we were trying to do routine three when we should have been prep checking. See? We were trying to do both things at once. We couldn't keep the PC in session, and God help us, it was all over and splattered on the ceiling, you see. Couldn't keep the rudiments in. We found out that it takes forever to find an item or a goal if the rudiments are out. I can prove that to you over and over and over again. If the rudiments are out, you will find nothing. If the rudiments are out, you will find nothing. If the rudiments are out, you will find nothing. I mean, it's been proven and proven and proven. I mean, there is no fact that is harder driven home than that fact. Of course, we have prep checking. You get CCH and prep checking to PC, you'll get into a condition where the rudiments will stay in. And then it becomes very easy for the auditor to do a proper job of auditing. Furthermore, auditing skill and the skill of an auditor has been tremendously upgraded. And that skill is tremendously higher this year. You realize that this week finishes a year of the St. Hill Special Briefing Course. Actually, it was Tuesday night. And if I hadn't been so busy getting audited and researching, trying to tie this sort of thing up for you, why, I would have given you a cake. But we will wait until we have a proper place to give a party, and I will give you a party, and we will just give you all a rain check on that. Okay? Now, routine three's difficulties were basically that a PC was not in any condition to have anything found on him, and auditors were not in any condition, as far as auditing skill was concerned, to find anything on a PC. Let's just face it, we stunk. Pick up an auditor from Lower South Amboy and say, all right, show me how to operate this e-meter. And he'd say, well, e-meter operation's very easy. Very easy. You set it up like this. You make sure this switches it off. It's almost that bad. One St. Hill graduate went back to California and actually had tremendous numbers of auditors and was giving special lectures on just one thing. What is a null needle? Nobody knew what a null needle was. We have people coming in here as original students last year. They would arrive here. They had never been on any courses or anything of the sort, and from various parts of the world, and they'd strike the e-meter essentials, and we would say to them in e-meter essentials, question, now show me a null needle. And they'd say, a null needle goes this way. And you say, how does a null needle go? And they'd say, fantastic. The auditors didn't know anything about this box. I don't know what they thought I was trying to do. Maybe they thought I was kidding them. That it worked at all. Actually, this is not too mysterious. Of course they didn't think an e-meter worked. The e-meters of Australia, South Africa, and America, as well as New Zealand, would not demonstrate a mental charge. They demonstrated electronic charges. They were perfectly good electronically, and they had nothing to do with the PC's thinkingness. The last meters before that that were of any value whatsoever was the 1957 U.S., and I thought it was a very competent meter until I was looking at one just a few months ago when I was over in the States at a Congress, and I found out that a Mark IV just runs rings around them. There's no sense in repairing those old meters. They've got delayed actions. They've got everything else in them. They shouldn't have. It's marvelous. You know, sometimes you turn your meter over to a repairman, he will build a delay into the circuit to keep the meter action from being injured. I think it's so sweet, the knucklehead. In other words, you ask the question, and 1 second later, the meter responds. Call. How gruesome can it get? It's grim. Well, with no meters, and actually at that time no textbook on meters, and a few other things lacking, and with about half of the rudiments that are vital to keep a session straight up lacking, of course it was impossible to do routine three. How could anybody do it? So it was very important to realize that a tremendous number of things have happened in the last year. One of them is the St. Hill Briefing Course. You take somebody and set them up and show them how it works and that sort of thing. They get understanding out. They go back and they don't waste any time telling people how to do it right. Believe me, returned students can always be heard in here, clear to hear. You know, they've screamed so loud. Audit looks terrible to them when they get back home. It just looks grim. It looks too ghastly. I mean, they always thought it was all right, you know, and they go back home and, oh, it looks terrible. Inevitable. We get inevitable responses. Developed the technology of an e-meter. Put it down in a very precision stated book. The book is very precisely stated. Frankly, made sure that the e-meter stayed very stable. Wiped out all corny e-meters that we couldn't count on. And somebody said, well, that was a smart commercial move. Hell no, that wasn't any commercial move. That was a move toward the survival of Scientology. These meters, people going on using these meters, wow. And particularly when we started to get other data, how dangerous it was to audit with these meters. Wonder we ever kept anybody anyways. And then we developed model session out with many more rudiments to keep things smooth, and we developed various technologies of how to straighten this out. And then, more importantly, proved conclusively that it was out rudiments that made it impossible to find items. That was a very important thing. And then developed the technology of keeping rudiments in by sec checking, and then eventually developed prep checking, and brought it on up to where we sit now. And it's an awful long jump. Just 12 months. It's an awful long jump. But it's a jump that had to be taken. And there are many important discoveries in this past year. One of them is the instant read. You don't pay any attention to anything that isn't an instant read, unless you're trying to spot something for the PC. He doesn't know what he's withholding, and every time he goes, he thinks something, we say that. That helps him spot it, because he looks at what he's looking at the moment we said that, and he said, oh, that. And then he spills it, and it cleans the needle. It's just helping a PC out. Little tricks of this character are only assistive tricks. Remember, there's tremendous vital data as run before this. We have now a session that looks like a session. We have auditors that look like auditors. The thing runs well. It's a tremendous jump for an auditor to take, particularly when he's been auditing for years, to all of a sudden be crushed into this much precision. It's a horrible thing, perhaps, to do to them until they start getting some wins through having been pushed there. I wonder how the hell they audited before. Now, you've got this... You've got all of these developments, and out of this comes new data now on how to clear a person all the way through the goals problem mass. The matter is being given to you and on the research line as a research activity should be accepted as such, but nevertheless it's sufficiently good that you should do it. The latest finding, I haven't enumerated all the findings which have made these things possible, but the latest finding on the thing is easily stated. Listing is auditing. Listing is not finding, listing is auditing. And that changes the whole orientation of routine three. Just like that. All great discoveries along these lines are in the directions of simplicity. Listing is auditing. Now, early on routine three, there are some here that have seen this happen. You started getting an assessment, and you would assess a goal, and then you'd assess a terminal, and you didn't get a chance to run it because it blew. And then you'd get another terminal, it'd blow. And then you get a goal and it'd blow. And what the hell do you have your hands on here? Person was just assessing out through the blue. All right. And my effort at this time is to move assessing all the way forward and dispense entirely with a class 4 activity of auditing anything found. That is the direction we are going right at the present moment. That is what we are trying to do. I don't know that we'll be tremendously successful in this, but we certainly will be more successful in finding a final package that will run. So therefore, whether we accomplish this in its final state or not is unimportant. We will have a more valid package, and we will have a more comfortable PC. Now, not the least of the reason for these discoveries along this line, and the reason for my address to this, is the PCs have gotten terribly uncomfortable running 3D crisscross. Man, it can really rack you up. Now, you'd run out into the clear. You'd run straight through this thing, but it's pretty gruesome. It's pretty hard, and it gets very difficult to hold the rudiments in if a PC is being run too far after a line is not discharged. If we fail to discharge line B and we start to do line C, we're in trouble. The PC will have a hard time staying in session, we'll have more and more difficulty with the PC, and if we then continue the error and finally get line D going, and then we op-term the wrong terminal on line D, we get the wrong terminal on line D, and we, oh, now it's just a dog's breakfast. Of course, sooner or later, all this will discharge. Sooner or later, we get all this done. We get enough terminals. We discharge enough, and so on. We're not going to audit any of these things till we get a final package. The possibility to all come down to the end, but why have the PC caved in all this time? I'm not kind. I'm nowhere near as kind as you are. That's a dirty word in Scientology. He was a kind auditor. But it isn't just kindness. It's very hard to keep a PC in session. So I've been studying how you patched up a case that had started going out of session because he'd had some wrong items found, and what you do about this. And I ran into this other fact: listing is auditing. We sort of went through a period where we understood this, but we didn't state this. So listing is auditing. All right. Now, there's another point about this, is the item, a wrong item found, is only remedied by finding the earliest item that was wrong on a case. That's worth knowing. You got D wrong. You op-termed it, and the case is lying in splinters. You actually are not going to remedy it very well by getting D right. If D could go wrong, A is probably wrong, or B. This is the discovery of what is a dirty needle. A dirty needle has two sources. Both sources are missing with holes. Well, you haven't gotten the item from the PC, so of course you've missed a withhold. But you will start to get the PC dramatizing missing withholds. And you get a dirty needle, you pick up a missed withhold, you'll straighten out that dirty needle. And you get a dirty needle, and you pick up a missed withhold, and you'll straighten up that needle. That's just current session withholds. You can always straighten up a dirty needle by picking up enough missed withholds. But let me tell you, if you've got a wrong line sitting on that line plot earlier than the line you were doing, you're going to liable to get a dirty needle, and you're just going to spend half your time picking up missed withholds, missed withholds, missed withholds. What do we mean by a dirty needle? We mean a needle that's shivering and shaking and whizzling and it's got a pattern and you can't read through the pattern and so on. It's just hell trying to do a routine three on a PC with a dirty needle. We can create a dirty needle with routine three by getting a wrong goal or a wrong terminal, op-terming something that wasn't factual. In other words, we've got line B, and what we've got down there is an acrobat, and what should be down there is dog. So we op-term acrobat, and by the time we're three-quarters of the way through or less, maybe a quarter of the way through op-terming acrobat, we've got a dirty needle on our hands. The way to solve this dirty needle is to go back and find the first error in routine three. Any routine three. Find the first error in routine three and correct it. You'll find out your dirty needle disappear, and all of these later blunders will tend to blow off. In other words, it's like pulling basic on a chain of n-grams. You find the earliest improper routine three action, and you will get a relief of the later improper actions. That's very well worth knowing, see? So that tells you sweepingly how to patch up a case. to patch up a case that has been misrun on routine 3 of any kind, it is only necessary to find the earliest incorrect item and correct and complete it. That's the formula. How do you set up a routine 3 case that is running around the bend? Well, you just find the earliest incorrect item that you can possibly lay your hands on. Not the item that you said, not the item where his headache turned on. Don't pay any attention to that item. Not the item that was he's having any difficulty with currently. Don't pay any attention to that. Don't go getting all scrambled up. The best way to do it is go back and find the earliest incorrect item. The earliest incorrect action. Any type of routine 3 action that is incorrect, find the earliest one and correct it. Right then, and you'll find the rest of the liabilities will blow away. Then you progress forward from that point. In other words, you audit the case all over again. Interesting. You're liable to find things that were not in anymore. You're liable to find things. So on. But you'll nevertheless find a lot of charge blowing off the case because it's been stirred up. You get that as a solution to the situation. Now, you saw me doing it last night on your television demonstration. I was just taking cases, and that's all the formula I was applying to the thing. You recognize it now as a formula. I'd find the earliest charged lists where I was doing it, and squaring this around. And listing is auditing. That's very important. Because it at once tells us when we have a complete list. All the questions of a flat process can be asked of a list. And if that list is flat, then all these questions will go together. So a flat process no longer produces tone arm action, okay? So that's your first conditional. You understand this has not been broadly proven. That's a conditional test. We don't know if that'll hold true forever. But flat process, flat list. When is all the charge off of this list? When we get no TA action on the list, of course. So theoretically, you would list to no TA action. That's theoretical. Next is, you'd ask the meter if the list was complete. Next is by differentiation. You differentiate the first 12 items of the list and see if you have tone arm action. If you have tone arm action, the list is incomplete. This is getting fascinating, isn't it? I mean, so you just read the first thing, you read the goal, and you say, would A, whatever item you've written down, do whatever the goal or line you got it from, you see? Okay. Should it, you say the item you've written down is cat and disregarded when you're trying to do something. And so you'd say, well, should a cat be disregarded when you're trying to do something? And if he says yes or no, we don't care what he says. But we watch that tone arm, and we see that it's got motion, and our list is not complete, and that's all there is to it. So we don't do anything about nulling, we just go back and start listing again. Carefully keeping off the ARC break for asking for more and more and more. You understand? The PC gets to understand that listing is auditing, and therefore he doesn't get so anxious to find. All right. Your next test consists of a nulling test. We null the first 12, the first new 12, because we can do this several times on the same list. And if we find any items in, we complete the list. What was that? What did you say? What did you say? If you find any items in, you complete the list. I mean, if they don't null out instantly, they can tick, and that's all. You complete the list. If you have one item in, you complete the list. Simple, huh? I just dropped a grenade amongst you, didn't I? All right. Here's Here's another test. If you find more than one item alive on the list, you complete the list. You understand? We allow you up to five chance of the item. Interesting, isn't it? Supposing you found three alive that we're going to check out. I mean, there's three. They stay alive. Bing, 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 you know. Bing, bing, bing. They just go bop, 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 bop. Now, complete the list. Complete the list. It'll complete down to one. That's what charge means on a list. We're regarding now listing as auditing, you see. You're regarding it in a different viewpoint than you've been regarding it before. You've been going forward to find something and get on so that you could find something, and eventually, having found a bunch of somethings, you wind up with a package that you can audit. You see, that's another intention. Well, this is not our intentions. We'll come very plain to you in about 2 minutes. Remember, I told you routine three would assess out. All right, that's what we're trying to do here. And you understand that I've got that trying underscored. We're trying to do this. So, when we complete the list, we'll find there's one item on it. It ought to be very rapid, although listing may seem to take a long time. You're not going to spend any time nulling because they're all null. You're going to null a thing, you see, but if they're all null, well, they click and they tick and they click and then they're gone, or they're not there at all. Now, this makes you have to be pretty sharp on are your rudiments in or out. So you'll have to run your rudiments fairly often, because a lot of these items are just going to be flatter and flounders. They were hot while you were listing them, but they're not hot now. You see, that's the theoretical approach that we're working on. So we've got cat, 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 all no. Dog, 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 all no. Catfish, 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 all no. Aviator, 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 all no. Isn't a tick? This becomes spooky ground. But remember, you're expert prep checkers. You know your business by this time. Is your PC in session or out of session? You had one last test. Just did it tick once in a while? Well, that might not be present on a complete list. So you might not be even getting a single tick. Theoretically, we'll see how it works. All right. Now, when you got your complete list, you're going to null it. And it should all null down like hot butter, leaving you one item, which will go tick, tick, tick. But it won't go tick, tick, tick sporadically, that I guarantee you. It'll probably go microscopically, tick, tick, tick. Did you see Master Craftsman on that last night?
Yeah.
Could you see the microscopic tick on that? That was the sweetest tick I ever saw. It was meticulous, you understand? It wasn't doing anything unless I said Master Craftsman, and at that moment it went tick. Could you see that? Instant tick. Tick, 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 tick. It didn't miss, see? It's the way an item ought to look. Not necessarily that tiny, but somewhat in that order of magnitude. Of course, the thing had been audited. But that's the way your items are liable to look on a complete list. Just one item, and it just goes tick, tick, tick. Very interesting. All right. That means you have to be pretty sharp-eyed, because if they're going to tick that microscopically, you're really going to have to be looking. There's only one item in these 585 that's going to tick it all, maybe. You see what a steep chance we're taking on this? All right, so we find this thing. Finally, we've got this item. We got this item on this completed list. We're going to take this item, which, let us say, is a barrel. A barrel. And now we're going to opterm a barrel. And all the rules of our opterming a barrel apply, as I just gave them to you, when we get the list complete, by all of the tests I gave you, they will still apply, theoretically, see? All right, when we get down to the end of this thing, You understand, this is a theoretical approach I'm giving you. This actually is probably 3A crisscross. Because you're going to use goals. I haven't gone into that. You've got this one item, and theoretically, what should happen if you've done your job perfectly? You find out that bung starter is the op term. You null it down. You got your list complete. You null it down. It nulls down just as probably even more gruesomely flat. You see? Like handling a dead fish, you know? And you find that it is bung starter. Now, theoretically, this could happen. This has already happened in auditing. Barrel bung starter. Barrel won't go. Bung starter won't go. That's your theoretical approach. There'd be no purpose in auditing them, would there? Now, there are several ways we could get our foot in the door on the goals problem mass, but the way we're going to try to get our foot in the door, having confidence in you all, is we're not going to try to discharge the goals problem mass by door, we're not going to discharge goals lists to that degree that we discharge items lists. That's very conditional. I have to learn more about this before I give you too much more about this. Might have to happen that we have to take all the charge out of it. But listen, taking all the charge out of the goals list is pulling all of the little holes out of the balloons in the goals problem mass. And I don't think you're going to be able to do it. See, it's not an item list. It's a bunch of think. It's giving you the intention of masses. The intentions of valences is what that goals list is. And it's good enough to identify things with, but believe me, I don't think it's good enough to discharge a bank with. I don't think so. So theoretically, we do not at this stage of the game, subject to amendation, care whether the goals list shows charge or doesn't show charge, as long as we can find a goal that goes tick, 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 and doesn't do anything else. We're going to grind it down to a point where we've got a goal, and that goal really sticks with us. And it goes tick, 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 just as nice as you please. That may take a much longer goals list than we ordinarily been writing, because the goals list may discharge to a better degree, but it's certainly going to take a goals list long enough that we can identify the goal. Now, the goal was appearing in about the first 150 that the person listed. That was quite interesting. Your goal seems to appear early. Your items always appear late. So it's obviously isn't the same breed of cat listing goals and listing items. It's apparently different. Anyway, the way we're going to tackle this from a routine three action is going to tackle it from the goal. And we're going to isolate goal. And then we're going to find, if we possibly can, a modifier. If it is too difficult to find the modifier, we will skip it. I don't say this will be routine procedure. But we are certainly going to find a goal, and we're certainly going to find a terminal. And we're going to find a terminal on a totally discharged list. We're not going to find a totally discharged goals list. We're going to find a totally discharged item list. See, we got this goal to smoke cigars, and that list is not well discharged. That goals list is still punchy. Things are still happening in that goals list, you see. So we make a list. Who or what would smoke cigars? See? And we finally make an item list out of that. Now, that item list has got to be complete, and that's got to be discharged. That's flatter than a flounder when we finally finish it up by this theoretical approach here. When we finish that thing up, we really have got that thing finished up. And we get it, cigar smoker, whatever the item was, and it's going tick, 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 and it doesn't do anything else but go tick, 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 you see? That's all. Now we're going to opterm it. Who or what would oppose a cigar smoker? And we're going to run that list down, and we're going to exhaust that list. We're going to run it down flat as a tire. And we should find, or we should find a condition at the end where either the terminals are very weak or whether they blow at once. That's theoretical on its approach. All right. Then what are we going to do? How are we going to get our next line? We're going to list goals. We're going to list goals. Obviously, the PC has changed like the North Star to the Southern Hemisphere. You can get new goals off this PC now. So you ask him to list a few more goals and be happy about this sort of thing. And you'll find out that some of the goals that weren't kicking might be now kicking. You're going to add some more goals, and then theoretically again, we're going to approach this thing by nulling the whole goals list all over again right now, what we've got now. Because goals lists pump up and slow down and do peculiar things that items lists don't do. Now we're going to find a new goal that goes tick, 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 and we're going to find a complete terminals list for that goal, and then we're going to find a complete opposition terminals list for that. Now, this doesn't destroy any of your ability to do 3D crisscross. I could look upon 3D crisscross as a marvelous training exercise. It's worth much more than that, but I could look on it now as a marvelous training exercise. We let this person do a prehab assessment, and we let him find an item. You know, when he's getting new on this. And we don't pay any attention to what he's found. Okay, we find an item, and we opterm it, and we cuss him out. We say the list is not complete, and he tries to complete the list, and he learns on something he can't hurt much with, see? See? PC might feel uncomfortable, but nothing compared to how he would do if you mucked up a goals assessment, you see? See the training approach on that? All right, but the actions are always the same. It doesn't matter what routine three you've got, I call your attention, you've got the same actions. You've got these certain steps, and we haven't changed any of those. Now, because we've put so much artillery behind it now, and because we found out so many holes in the line, and we know exactly where routine three was falling down, remember, routine three was your most positive clearing process, but that it didn't extend to the many. But routine 3D crisscross can be done on anybody. Therefore, if you use a routine 3D crisscross, but do routine three, you of course got something which is extending to the many. Okay? Now, if we do this right and keep this remedied along the line, if all this works very smoothly and you don't develop a whole bunch of bugs that I haven't foreseen, which is always possible, because you see, routine three itself was thrown overboard only by auditor bugs. I can do routine three to this day with the greatest of ease. If you don't develop a bunch of bugs, and if there aren't a bunch of bugs in the thing, we may have our hands on here, ample evidence demonstrating it today, we may have our hands on a fairly rapid clearing thing. So the guy gets clearer and clearer. See, we don't have to push him straight through the knot hole. Get the idea? He just gets clearer and clearer as we go, and therefore ought to get easier and easier to audit. Its basic advantage would merely be, as every other development has been here, in terms of speed of final result. That's our basic advantage. Speed of final result is quite important. Auditor tied up over one piece, even an hour saved by something becomes important. All right, well, that's your theoretical approach, or what we will call, just for the interim, routine 3A crisscross. The reason I backgraded it is after we've got the thing totally ironed out, we will assign it its final designation. We'll probably there'll be a little bit of jostling around. There always is. I have learned to expect that as part of the randomity of it all. Doesn't matter how solidly you lay down these fundamentals, they can go astray. Now, what I've just given you, by the way, aside from the fact of opterming things, is contained in all the do's and don'ts of some of the earliest directions of Routine 3. Show you how un-new this is. But we have the wherewithal now so that those earliest directions can be followed. We needed things like a textbook on meters. We needed a splendid meter like the Mark IV. We needed this data about instant reads. And we needed to know without any doubt whatsoever that you cannot find anything on a PC with these rudiments out. And we needed this and that and the other thing as we gone along the line. And furthermore, we needed this data about complete lists. I've given you several tests for a complete list. And we just had one just a few days ago. We needed these things, you see, in order to carry the thing through. But the way you're going, the only mistake which you're making and which you will have to remedy, and this mistake is being uniformly made, even I, last week, would not have called any list I had recently inspected on your 3D crisscross as a complete list. These lists are... Man, I've gone over the number of times you've been going across the list. It is many. Well, you have to cover one item four times in order to get the thing, the whole list. No, I'd say right then the list was charged. Now, earlier, there was something else we were doing to take charge off of a list. We were differentiating a list to take charge off of a list. Well, there has been a technical discovery, and that is that a list does not discharge except by being complete. You see? So you add up all the mistakes that you could make actually come under the heading except a goals list is an incomplete list. Incomplete list, incomplete list, incomplete list. So you just get used to it. What are the phenomena of an incomplete list? Well, the meter will respond, are there any more items on this list? Sometimes, however, the meter doesn't respond to that question. Probably your tone arm action will be out of the listing. See, and those other tests which I have given you. Now, you can relegate differentiation to a test step, because it'll be your most reliable test step. Just differentiate the first 12 and see if there's tone arm action. I would say offhand, this possibly won't prove out to be the case broadly, but it apparently tone arm action would be caused by charge. The list is still charged heavily if you have heavy tone arm action by differentiation. And tone arm action by differentiation would betoken the fact that nothing's going to null. So you wouldn't have to start nulling at this stage of the game because you say this list is too heavily charged up. Now, I'm totally prepared to have to do something else with a list in order to discharge it properly. I told you at the beginning of this lecture, you're way up on the assembly line. I mean, you're way up on the research line. You're not on the assembly line at all. Yeah, that's about where you're sitting right now. But because we have to patch up routine 3D crisscross errors here and there, I've had to study those errors very carefully. And the errors which I have found and the session tests which you saw me take last night all add up to the conclusion that you might as well straighten up all the routine 3D crisscross which you were doing. But if you're going to have to do that, you might as well learn this routine 3A crisscross. Because it's the same as straightening up what you're doing right now. All right? You've got to do it anyway. So let's go ahead and tackle this thing called routine 3A crisscross, which is really, at this stage, merely a patch-up of your 3D crisscross, plus the fact that nearly all of you have had some action on routine 3, so we have to take that into account, see? We're in an optimum position where just to straighten them out and take all the charge off, we'll just do this other process and see what we get out of it, okay? That's where we sit right at the present moment. I want to see faster clearing than I've seen. I don't want PCs having to be pushed through the knot hole. There's too many hours being stacked up on auditing. There are many errors being committed, but all of those errors sum up to rudiments out, which we won't make a criticism on your routine 3D crisscross. That's a criticism of prep checking. See, if the rudiments are out, that's a criticism of a person's ability to prep check. So just omit that. And the other error is incomplete lists and improper items. Yeah, so you've got to straighten up your incomplete lists and improper items anyhow, so let's do routine 3A crisscross, find out where we land up, and see if we haven't got a faster clearing process, okay? Mm-hmm. Sounds to me that this might possibly give you an easier run of it with a PC. I've been studying this hard, and now I'll give you a few of the little items which have given us the gem on this. Number one, I have discovered the dirty needle phenomena to stem from missed withholds and, at the same time, an improperly procured item, that is say, an improper item gotten and labeled and handled by the auditor, gives the appearance of a huge missed withhold, which gives us a dirty needle. Now, this is one of our main difficulties, don't you see, with all routine three processes. So that's a very fundamental discovery. The next discovery is that listing is auditing. Next discovery is that cases that have been started on routine three are still continuing to dramatize their goal and modifier in spite of a great deal of routine 3D crisscross run on the case. So that tells you, as I told you in a lecture a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, it's the one found by routine 3, the item found by routine 3 was more fundamental, which I think is quite remarkable, more fundamental than the later items. So these later items must be shallower than the routine 3 items, because at no time has routine 3D crisscross knocked out, to my knowledge, the goal and terminal activity and dramatization of the PC. In other words, we have quite a long way to go before we come around to the initial results of routine 3. So that looks to me to be a very fine area to shorten up processing. That looks to me to be very splendid. And then, that the earliest items found are capable of spoiling the reaction and sequence and response of all following items. If you have one items A, B, C, D, E, F, and an error and is found to be consistent in F, and we can't keep the rudiments in on F, we look to G in order to correct F, and we only correct G, we'll find all of a sudden that there's going to be something a bit wrong on G, and we will find ourselves straightening out C, that we found something wrong on, and spending quite a bit of time straightening out C, and then we find out the person didn't get the proper goal in the first place. And we find ourselves right off the 3D crisscross graph and find ourselves back assessing for an earlier error on a routine 3 process, which has apparently been able to terribly influence all the routine 3D we were doing. 3D crisscross that we were doing, you see, was influenced by the earliest error, which is quite remarkable. In other words, you're going to run into people who have been assessed on routine 3. Now, here's the other item that makes this vital to you. You're going to find people all over the place who have been assessed on routine 3 processes. And then they heard there was something new later, so somebody dropped their assessment at that point, and it's lucky they did, because it probably was for the birds. And we run on down the line here, and you're going to run in somebody, and he's going to say, well, go ahead and clear me, everything's fine, and go ahead and clear me. Go ahead. You say, well, all right. You're going to prep check them and get them in line. You do some CCHs and so forth, and you get all set. And if you were just going to do routine 3D crisscross, you're going to be sitting there looking, the seconds you start listing, you're going to be looking at a dirty needle. Because it was all straight on prep checking. Particularly when I got the mud pies out of his mother. And here's this dirty needle. And you say, well, I'll carry on, I'll get the missed width hole. You pick up 465 missed width hole. That's an exaggeration, probably only 50 or 60. and you get the dirty needle all beautifully cleaned up, and you start listing again, you see, and there's the dirty needle again. Well, you're going to be baffled. Unless at that moment you've been trained to ask the magic question. Who assessed you on what? When? And follow it down with the meter. When was your earliest goals assessment or something like that? Oh, well, that was a long time ago. I remember Charlie Gilpin came in from an academy course that he'd taken. I think he was expelled. And he came in from Central Org and so forth, and he did a complete assessment on me. And actually, it took him about half an hour, and he found that I was a moped. And this is very peculiar because his had just broken down. And you say, well, what was he doing? Well, he was just listing goals. Just listing goals. Well, how many goals you live? Well, I don't know. What happened to the goals assessment? I don't know. You've had it, you see, you'd think otherwise. But if you just sat down there and listed these goals again, this goal will appear again. If you know this little additional question, and this we went into, oh my goodness, this must have been 10 months ago, something on the basis of invalidated goals. So you have to add, if you're going to do a patch-up list, you have to ask for what goals have been invalidated and clear up every tick you find. See, it's kind of a funny little process of prep checking. Have you ever had any goal invalidated? See? And we don't care whether his mother did it or his school teachers or it was done in a session or he's done it out of session or anything else. We've got to take every tick off of that. If we haven't got the man's list, we can get his list back only if we take the invalidations off the goals, because he's not going to give us the invalidated goal, and that's the only one he's not going to give us the second time. Isn't that interesting? When you're redoing missing lists, then, pick up invalidations of that type of list and clean that needle slicker than a whistle on invalidations of that type of list, and you'll be able to get the list back. If you don't do that, you won't be able to get the list back. See how? So, we also had earlier trouble in that everybody's goals lists were getting lost and nobody could find their goals list. We're having to ship them every place. And this did make a barrier. To routine three. It's just too much administration. I mean, auditors couldn't keep track of all of this that well, and we lost too many of them. Well, without this little gimmick about invalidation and getting the list back again and working it over, you'll find enough goals doing it that way to carry on. You'll certainly find the important goals, but only if you've gotten the invalidations off of the goals. That's the only one he won't give you a second time. That's too invalidated. Somebody halfway found on him that he wanted to murder his father. And then they looked at him and said, that's a terrible goal, you see. And then he said, oh my, that's a terrible goal. Or before that, he said, oh, I wouldn't want to have that goal. That's going to be missing on the redone list, don't you see? That'll be suppressed, in other words. Well, all right. Now, what you learn in doing this, you can apply to straightening out any case. Whether this works all the way through as a clearing process in your hands or not is totally unimportant. Recognize that. You certainly have got to know all of these things in order to straighten out a case that's gone off the rails on 3D crisscross. You see? I'm giving you the added bonus that we may be pioneering a little new way through on an easy route through the GPM. Okay? But you've got to be able to do all these things. You've got to be able to take all these steps to patch up cases. because you're going to find them that need patching up. You got a lot of them right here that need patching up at this present moment. They're not particularly horrible, writhing agony, and they'd all come out straight in the end and all that sort of thing, but you might as well learn to patch up a case fast, early, and know how to do it. I gave you a demonstration 2 weeks ago. A week ago, and I gave you a demonstration last night on just reviewing cases. Now, I wouldn't bother to try to pattern my advice to these cases and try to apply it to all cases. I mean, what you saw on the screen. But I was just talking to these people. I was interviewing. That was a research session. That's what you saw. Nevertheless, that's what I would do to straighten up these cases. Right? And if they don't straighten up, I'd do something else. Do you understand? But certainly, straightening up the first item that went wrong is the inevitable step which you would take in any case. You try to find the first item that went wrong in this person's routine three-type processes and make it right, and you'll find out, I'm pretty sure, uniformly, that a case will continue to hang up until you either got clear to the end of the goal's problem mass and had about 60 or 90 3D crisscross items, you're saying. PC in misery all this time. He's getting down toward the end. You find out your best shortcut, because all that time you're going to have a hard time keeping rudiments in, see? Your best shortcut is to find that first item in, all right? If you're going to have to find that first item in, you might as well learn this process we call routine 3A crisscross, and it makes a patch-up in any event, whatever else it does. Okay? All right? All right. Thank you very much.